to see everyone back here with us this evening. You will take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're going to be reading here in just a moment. Verses 13 through 21. Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. A man by the name of P.T. Barnum created a billion-dollar industry from nothing more than a few odd animals and a few odd humans. He is quoted to have said, "There is a sucker born every minute, and a fool and his money are soon parted." When we read Luke 12, 13 through 21, we read here of a man that God says is foolish. Well, read with me this text, and then we will look at this life of this foolish man and let us determine whether or not we fit in this category. And one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." That encounter brought on what takes place here in verses 16 through 21. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We go on in verses 22 and 23 to finish up this particular section. And we read, "He said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." Friends, as we read this text, what thoughts are going through your mind? Do we fit this description? Or could we easily fit into the shoes of this man that God calls a fool? We work and work and work and work. We try to build up a retirement so that at the end of our lives we can say, "Let us take our ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Or friends, do we come to the same conclusion that Solomon came to and realize that we can work all our lives, we can work our fingers to the bone, and then finally realized that it's not that that was important, but rather serving God and keeping His commandments. Let's look at this rich man a little more closely. I want us to break this particular parable down into three different parts. And notice that, number one, this man lived faithlessly. Number two, this man lived as though he resided in a fairy tale. And this man, number three, lived foolishly. And then we'll have a question for us at the end of this particular discussion. Number one, let's notice verses 16 and 17 again. Let's notice that this man in this parable lived faithlessly. Again, we see in verses 16 and 17, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Friends, let me ask you the simple question as we consider this rich man who is the main character here of this parable. Where is God in this statement? Notice again verse 17. "What shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" He acts as if he's the one that caused the rain to fall and the sun to shine. There's no faith there. There's no room for God. He never gave God the praise. Let's look at Daniel 4 and verse 30. Keep a finger there in Luke chapter 12. Daniel chapter 4. This reminds me of Nebuchadnezzar. When he went out on his palace, or in his palace. Verse 29 says, at the end of the 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? Prince Nebuchadnezzar had to learn a lesson here, didn't he? He thought of himself as being almighty and all-powerful, and he looks out at this great kingdom that he was the king of, and he says, look at this great Babylon that I have built. I have built it by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. God is never mentioned there. And so Daniel reminds him, God reminds him through Daniel, that he indeed, God does, reigns in the affairs and kingdoms of men. That would have been something that this foolish man would have done well to remember. This man lives faithlessly. Friends, how often do we go through our day-to-day lives? How often do we sit down and we think about what it is, what all it is that we have been blessed with? Or how often do we sit down and say, look at what I have done. Look at this great work that I do. Me and my, friends, can be very dangerous words, as this rich man is about to find out. Our trust must be put in God. James reminds us of that, doesn't he? In James chapter 4, it seems that the people to whom he's writing, they're saying, I will go do this tomorrow or next week or next month. I will do this, I will do that, so forth and so on. They were forgetting that they may not be alive at that point. So James puts them in mind of God. Say that you will do this if God wills. If you're still drawing breath at that time. Friends, we cannot go through this life saying that we believe in God, claiming to follow our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and then never include Him in our plans. We cannot live a faithless life and still call ourselves Christians. This man left no room for God. He lived a faithless life. Number two, verses 18 and 19, this man lived as though he resided in a fairy tale. Look at verses 18 and 19 again. He said, this will I do. He got an idea. Since I don't have room, he says, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And then I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought that because he had this great harvest, that he could forget everybody else, that he could forget God, living faithlessly as he was. He could build these great barns, and he could just take his ease. Live happily ever after, as it were. Friends, many, many, many rich soon find themselves poor. Whether it's because they mismanaged their funds, whatever the case may be, I'm not sure. But I can't tell you of how many people that I've read of over the past few years that should have had enough money to see them through to their dying day and yet are filing bankruptcy left and right. I read an article a few months ago about players that had been drafted into the NFL. Given anywhere from $2 to $15 million guaranteed, and for whatever reason, in a couple of years, they're out of the league. But they still have this anywhere from $2 to $15 million, you know, laid up in the bank, you would think. But within 3 to 5 years of being out of the league, they're filing for bankruptcy. They continue to live as if that money's pouring in. I wonder what might have happened with this rich man if he had built those bigger barns and tried to take his ease. for the rest of his days? Would he have gone through everything that he had just earned in just a short amount of time as though he was going to continue to harvest year in and year out? Most likely, those goods would not have lasted him as long as he had prepared or thought he had prepared for them to last. Friends, how often do we think that just maybe we might have a happily ever after in this life just to realize that there's no such thing? Friends, our happily ever after as a Christian doesn't come until the next. We work for our Lord. You remember Jesus with his disciples said that the field is wide already to harvest. Are we harvesting? Are we going to work? Or friends, are we living as though we reside in a fairy tale and I've done all I need to do, I've worked as long as I need to work, and so I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take my ease. And saying that in the sense that I don't have to do anything any longer as a Christian. Friends, we need to roll up our sleeves. And we need to get to work. The field is wide already to harvest. We need workers in the vineyard of the Lord. There's no retirement for a Christian. Not until he's drawn his last breath, not until the judgment day comes. There's not a retirement for a Christian. Let's get to work. And let's not live as though we reside in a fairy tale. Number three. This man lived faithlessly. He lived as though he resided in a fairy tale. And number three, this man lived foolishly. We see that from God's own mouth, verses 20 and 21. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Friends, God himself refers to this man as a fool. He was thinking about no one but himself. He was being selfish in that respect. He had left no room for God in his heart. He was not the man that he ought to have been. And because he had no room left for God, because he was not thinking of others, because he was not doing as he ought to have done, God says, you are a fool. You will answer for your life this very night. I wonder what his reaction was, if this happened to be an actual account that Jesus was giving. I wonder what his reaction was when he opened his eyes in Hades. I just wonder if maybe this is the rich man that we read about in the account of Lazarus. And as he looked up, what his reaction may have been. He lived foolishly. We read in the Psalms that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. This man didn't live for God. He lived for himself. He planted those fields for himself. He gathered that harvest for himself. He did not give God the glory. So, friends, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 52. Psalm 52. The psalm is divided into two parts. The first five verses we see there where the psalmist is writing concerning the fools or the foolish. Verses 6 through 9 refers to those that would be wise. And friends, it's up to us to determine through God's Word into which category do we fall. Notice with me first of all the first five verses and notice how well this rich man, this rich fool, notice how well he fits this description. Verse 1, why boastest thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischief, like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living. Friends, can you imagine when this man woke up in torments, and he realized what his life had been, and now he's going to have to answer for that? Notice how he's described here in these verses, especially verse 5. Notice what will happen to the fool. God shall likewise destroy the fool forever. He shall likewise take the fool away. He will pluck the fool out of his dwelling place, root him out of the land of the living. God has no place for one that would live foolishly. God has no place for one that would live without Him. This man lived foolishly. Now notice verses 6 through 9 here in Psalm 52. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Those that would be wise, those that would be righteous, they see what happens to those that are foolish. And notice what they do. It makes them include God in their lives all the more, doesn't it? They shall see and fear. They shall realize that they should not live that way. They'll see that as an example. Verse 7, lo, this is the man. Now this is the righteous talking now. This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Now friends, notice the difference between the righteous and the foolish. Notice here at the end of this particular passage, verses 8 and 9, to whom do they give the glory for all things in their lives? God. For everything that they have been blessed with in their lives, they remember that God, that it comes from God, that they remember that God is the one that has given them these things. And yet, on the other hand, verse 7, speaking there of the fool, notice what they say of the fool. He trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in wickedness. Friends, we've been on several door-knocking campaigns when I was at Memphis. And hands down, it never failed that we would get more response, more Bible studies, more visitors at our campaign and our gospel meeting for the week from the poorer communities than we ever did in the more well-off communities. Sad to say, although there aren't that many rich in Jamaica, the same is true there. There were a couple of areas that we went into where the houses were nice. They were actually finished, for one. The folks drove nice vehicles. And all except for one, we probably hit maybe 25 to 30 houses like that. We got one Bible study. Whereas our percentage for the rest of the time in the other communities was about 80%. The fool trusts in his own riches rather than placing his trust in God. This man lived faithlessly. He lived as though he resided in a fairy tale, and he lived foolishly. Now, I want you to go back to verse 21 of Luke chapter 12. And let's ask this question. As we read that verse, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Friends, Where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Do you trust in your own hands that whatever is thrown your way in this world that you can handle it? You don't need anybody else? Friends, if that's the case, our thinking is wrong. If you went back to Psalm 52, you'd see there that those that were righteous, they placed their trust in God. They did not trust in the riches of this world. Do we place our treasure here upon this earth? Friends, if that's the case, then I need you to read 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, where Peter tells us there that everything, all the elements, shall melt with a fervent heat. What good is that treasure going to do you on the last day? Friends, I've got news for you. You can't buy God off. He already has it all. Jesus said, What shall a man give for his own soul? Even if he has all the world, it's not worth the price of his soul. Let's think about that for a moment. Where is your treasure? And be honest with yourself. Use the mirror of God's Word. Look into this perfect law of liberty as James describes it in James chapter 1. Where is your treasure? Is it here upon this earth, friends, or is it in heaven? Have you laid your treasures up there? In John 14, 1 through 3. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Friends, have we placed our trust in God as we ought to, or do we place it in man? Do we place it in ourselves? Do we place it in our spouse, in our mother or our father or our grandparents, whatever the case may be? Where do we place our trust? Where do we place our treasure? Friends, as we read here in Luke chapter 12, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself." He's just like that rich fool. "And is not rich toward God." Friends, our question for you this evening, as we put away our Bibles and take out our song books, our question for you this evening, my friend, is, are you rich toward God? What's the case? Where is your treasure? Friends, if your treasure is not laid up in heaven, if you're not rich toward God this evening, you can change all of that this very moment. You can become a Christian. You can put Christ on in baptism. And by doing so, friends, you become a part of the family of God. You become part of His body, which is the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Friend, are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? We read in the Bible that if you would hear His Word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, friends, your sins will be washed away. You'll arise again to walk in newness of life, friends, and you can be rich toward God. Would you do that this evening? Friend, are you here having done so at some point in the past? Where is your treasure now? Do you continue to lay your treasures up in heaven, friends, or have you at some point abandoned that? Would you come home? Would you lay your treasures up with God once more? Friend, we ask, if you have a need, whether to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, friends, or just need the prayers of the church, would you come right now while we stand and while we sing?